Hello, Westport. Good morning. It's me, Holly Brunett, and the Wired Willow Show. In the second half of the show, it's going to be the Truant Sound Waves. Bernice is away at Earthsong. Hope she has a wonderful time in Earthsong. So, Grania has a friend with her. Be sure to tune in to the second half of the program to the Truant Sound Waves. Now, last weekend, we had the Westport Festival. It was a great success, and the town was buzzing. And here in the courtyard, we had the Young Guns competition on the Sunday, with lots of bubbles and music. Wandering into the courtyard was a very interesting man with a bandana and a grey beard and a very strange instrument. His name was PJ Brady.
I thought I was listening to the concert in the park, but it was a girl singing, and it was a lovely sound, so I came in.
PJ Brady, could you tell us about that magical instrument of yours?
It's made from a Bowron, a sawn-off guitar, and a piece of a motorbike, and some cow bone and goat skin, and it's called Baranjo.
A Baranjo. That's an extremely interesting instrument, but it's beautiful. Now, you made that. Did you actually saw off a guitar to make that?
I did, yes, and I felt a bit insane when I was doing it, but...
I take it was an old guitar.
It was an old 12-string guitar. There was no use for anything else, but I still felt bad about cutting it up and laying the grinder, you know.
And I see it signed your at the back there.
There are many signatures from people from around Ireland, Sharon Shannon and Finbar Fury, Paddy Riley, Damien Dempsey, you know.
So who do you play with? Tell us a bit about yourself. Who is PJ Brady?
I play, not all the time, but I play, sometimes I just go off to a city like Galway or Cork or Westport Town or Dublin or someplace like that, and I get into pubs, and I play in Donoghue's in Dublin, or the Dubliners started off, and I'm very lucky to get in there because of the instrument. I'm playing Galway and Cork and different places, you know.
Well, it's a very interesting. You blessed us with your sound yesterday, which you will get to hear, and people are welcome to vote for you on the Young Guns competition.
Can I say one thing? When you gave me the T-shirt after the thing was over, I realised it was for young people. I shouldn't have been in it at all.
More than just that, but it's absolutely all musicians. We open to all musicians, and you blessed us.
You know?
Oh no, I invited you, and thank you for joining, and it was fantastic. I would really like it if in a few minutes you could play us, but I'm going to ask you a bit about yourself because you seem such an interesting man. You just go around, is that your life? So you've got family?
I have five children and my wife Tina, and they're all educated now, and most of them in jobs, and one's a teacher and the other's a nurse, and you know, like there's a girl working with disabled people, and you know, my wife also works in care and side of things as well, like so.
And your wife just lets you off on weekends to go travelling?
You know, she likes the Irish dancing, and she goes over to Portugal or Spain or down to wherever, and she does the Irish dancing, and I just play the music, you know.
Okay, so what is the genre that you play? What influences you?
I'm into a lot of different genres, and the songwriting I do is from all different genres. I love every sort of music, and I write different types of songs, and from the different instruments I make, I pick up different sounds and different songs. I get a different sound from each instrument I, you know, create, like, you know.
Okay, so you're a man of multi-talents. How long have you been playing?
No, I'm not multi-talented. These things, some of the purists in music now wouldn't like this machine here. To see it as too much change or something, you know, like. But it's...
It's an eclectic, and it gives it a beautiful sound. A unique sound, and I think in this world, it's rare that you get that unique sound.
It needs lots of sunshine. This instrument, if it's wet weather, the skin gets very loose on it, and there's nothing you can really do about that, but it needs good weather, or else you have to keep drying it with a hairdryer, or say, if the weather is wet, you have to...
Okay, so you can't just go busking with it anywhere?
No, an amp, it's electrified now, so if I had an amp with me, it's fine, it'll play through the amp.
How long did it take you to make that?
Well, I put it together very quickly when I got the idea. Okay, I was thinking about it for a while, and I put it together fairly quickly on one Sunday when the Fla Cowell was in Tullamore, the All-Ireland Fla, and I brought into Tom Coosan, the famous banjo maker from Galway, and he was kind of knocked out when he seen it, and he said to me, you should go to all the festivals with that, so I did. And I've been refining it ever since.
That's wonderful, because there's a wonderful program which I've watched on Vimeo lately where there's actually a place in Portugal. They teach people from disadvantaged backgrounds classical music, and they make all the instruments out of dumps collected from the dumps.
Yes,
it's beautiful, and they tune them beautifully, and they train them. The Philharmonic, yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And these kids can play beautifully on these instruments.
I think it's landfill harmonics, yes.
Yes, that's it, landfill harmonics, yes. It's beautiful.
Very interesting, yes.
your instrument doesn't remind me of that at all because it's a little more classier.
Yeah, it's crude in some ways, but actually I was playing, I played like a percussion instrument as well, like a Bowron. I turned it upside down and stand it on its head and I played with a Bowron stick. So when I get into a situation where I don't know the chords and the jigs and reels to be playing in the pubs, I can, you know, diversify it a bit or change it a bit, you know, and use the drum end of it. But one day I was playing the drum and I hit the bridge with the stick and the strings all loosened off very quickly. So the neck broke on the top, the head broke off, broke at the join. So I just put two gutter bolts into it, tightened it back up, and away it went again, you know. So
So would you think of making more than just that one? Is that your only one of it?
It's only one, and I wouldn't make it for anyone else because it's an instrument you have to live with, you have to change with, you have to work with it. Something, it would be too much work for anybody else, I think. Most people want to just buy an instrument and not have to serve, you know, like have to maintain it all the time, and you have to maintain this thing, you know.
Okay, but it's a unique sound. So would you mind just strumming a bit for us there?
Okay.
Making us hear the sound of it. I'm just interested in looking at it now before you start. I'm seeing, looking at a metal piece on it. Yes. Where did you get that metal piece that ties the strings together?
I'm into motorbikes, and I had a fierce problem coming up with that piece of metal to hold the strings down because I couldn't. You can't go up and buy this, so I was looking around the yard, and I got this piece of a Honda CBR 250, and just cut it off and put the strings onto it, and it holds down the strings and tension, because it's very strong, has to be very strong and light. So aluminium was the best thing, like, you know.
The whole bending on the side to make it fit to the side of the Bowron?
That was actually the shape of the motorbike. That was the shape of the... Yeah, I picked that piece of metal because it had two bends on it like that, and it seemed to fit in just exactly where it
and
should.
And it tightens beautifully. And so you obviously have to drill holes then where the strings go.
Yes.
So what ties it at the back? What keeps the strings together? Is it on nuts and bolts?
Oh, yeah, there's a little bracket there and just holes, and then the strings just go in and they're wider at the back, so they can't pull through. But this piece here is cowbone, and that the bridge.
What is that called ordinarily? Is that the bridge?
And the tailpiece is the aluminium piece off the motorbike, but the bridge is made from cowbone, and there is a bit of an interesting story to that, because when I was making that, I was looking for a certain type of cowbone. I was down in the fields one day with the dogs, and I found this ideal piece of bone. I spent 12 hours making that. And
so what were you making it? Were you finding it, sanding it down?
Yes, and drilling the holes in it and shaping it. But my dog actually eat it on me when I was going to transfer the bone. So about 2 weeks later, I got one of the bones he was eating and made another one out. So 24 hours to make that bridge. You know.
Well, it's beautiful. And all the signatures around you, you say Sharon and the like, you've played with them.
Yeah,
they've
Sharon
seen the instrument.
Yes, and Paddy Riley and Finbar Fury, and I met Jack Gell last night, and one designed it and played it as well, and it's amazing. It transformed me, this instrument, because I used to go out a lot before I made this, but now when I go out, I'm lucky enough to get in to play with a lot of these people, like, you know, so.
And it's really taken you places, and I mean, your music that you play is really beautiful, and you've got such a
Thank
nice
you.
Soulful voice. So I'm going to leave you a few seconds to get acquainted and introduce us to your music.
Well, this song is a song that I didn't write the music of this. I just arranged it to fit my words. But it's a piece written by Finbar Fury called The Lonesome Boatman. But I've changed the title to Temptress of the Sea because that's what I wrote the poem to the words about. You know, so I'll play it now. O temptress of the sea, she's as cold as can be, and still growing. All the trawlers she lured down, and the fishermen were all drowned, never knowing. The secret neath the waves makes the fishermen such slaves to go falling to some cold salt water seabed where no crosses mark the dead. Hear her calling. Can't you hear the sea? She is calling. Underneath her waves, they have fallen. nevermore on that shore they'll go roaming. Nevermore on our shore to go roaming. Oh, how bright that blissful bay, starting voyage that summer's day, 'twas like heaven. In the cruel turn of sea breeze, Neptune's anger left on a piece, bows are heaving. Nevermore on that shore they'll go roaming. Nevermore on her shore to go roaming. On leaving safe dry shore, knowing not what lay in store, they were singing. Some more fishermen sad sweet song, and their hearts all sang along, she is calling. Can't you hear the sea? She is calling. Underneath her waves, they have fallen. Nevermore on that shore, they'll go roaming. Nevermore on her shore, to go roaming. O temptress of the sea, now don't you be tempting me to go sailing to some cold salt water seabed where no crosses mark the dead. I hear you calling. Can't you hear the sea? She is calling. Underneath her waves, they have fallen. Nevermore on that shore, they'll go roaming. Nevermore on her shore, to go roaming.
Really nice. And that's the really is a nice tinny sound to that. I really like that. It's ethnical for me.
I suppose, yeah.
Okay.
It's not the best this morning, though. I heard it sounding better, you know, but it's plenty buzz. It'll be a broke string on the last night. I didn't get a chance to fix it up right. But
no, that's lovely. I like that. That's a more raw sound.
Oh, yeah.
Much nicer. That's really nice. So, Peter, tell me, you were saying about motorbikes.
Yeah.
Did you come riding on your motorbike up to Westport?
No, I'm going to. No, I didn't. I didn't bring the motorbike because this thing is too cumbersome to carry in the motorbike. But I'm going to get a trike, one of those Volkswagen trikes, and I'll have more room on that for the instrument, you know. And so that's.
Well, so it would be nice to see this trike having its own seat.
Yes, that would be a special compartment. It'd be a special compartment for the veranda, you know.
I've seen interesting bikes in my time. It'll be interesting to see that one.
Yes.
So you go around the whole summer just going from festival to festival.
Yeah, whenever I can, yes. And all year round, except there's a few months maybe when there wouldn't be a festival on. But generally there's something on all the time, like, you know. And I go to Donegal, I go to the Flat Coles, and I'm going to Sligo this year to the Flat Coles. And I was in Derry last year for one day, and I was in Cavan three times before that, 3 years.
And how do you find out about them? You just Google them?
Ah, yeah, well, the Flat Coles is on a regular thing in this country, but you Google the festivals, and then when you get in, you know, the friends with people, they tell you when things are on, and you see it on Facebook, and, you know, so there's an awful lot happening around this country, really. You know, it's everywhere, you know.
It's wonderful. Do you get paid for some of the gigs, or do you just...
No, I don't do this for money at all. This is a love thing. Yeah, I just love doing it, you know. And
do you meet people through it?
Yes, and great people, you know. Great musicians.
Okay, well, you came to Westport. What made you choose Westport Festival?
Well, I was down here last year because the kids gave myself and Tina a weekend away, and we came down to Castle Court Hotel last year, and I realised Westport was a gem, you know, like...
Okay, was that the first time you were in Westport?
It was, I think, yes, the first time in Westport, yeah. And it was everywhere. It was just music every night, you know. It was something every night somewhere, you know, and I thought it was brilliant, you know.
There always is, even in the winter time.
Yeah, yeah. So
we hope to see you even in the winter time with your...
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
example. Yeah, have you been to Matt Malloy's and played in Matt
Malloy's? Oh, I played with Matt the other night, and he's a gentleman, and I played with him and a few other people there, and they were brilliant musicians, and the place was jammed, you know, like so. And
so we could see you as a regular feature down in West Cork.
Maybe, yes. And
maybe bring the wife next time.
Oh, yeah, she comes with me sometimes, yeah, and, you know, she does a bit of dancing, and we went to Matt Malloy's before, and she went to the dancing section, and I went to the trad session, you know.
Oh, that's nice. But that is nice when it can accommodate both.
Yeah.
Now, you really, the music you play is traditional folky songs.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any artist you can mention right now that has influenced you?
Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen.
Do you know any of their versions yet, Bruce Springsteen?
I just sing... I sing a song that Bob Dylan actually started writing one time, and it's I think I did it yesterday when we were on the stage.
Yes.
I can do that if you want to. You know?
Excellent, so shall let's all right. Give it a go.
I was heading down south to the land of the pine, coming my way into North Carolina, staring down the road, praying to God I see headlights. Well, I made it down the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and praying to Riley I can be with my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, 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 mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, 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 mama, rock me. I was run from the cold up in New England, born to be a fiddle player in an old-time string band. My baby plays the guitar, pick the banjo now. Well, North Country winters keep a-getting me now. I lost my money playing poker, so I had to up and leave. But I'm never going back to living that old life no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, 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 mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, 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 mama, rock me.
You grew up in Tullamore. And you? Did you ever leave the place? And
I worked in Romania. I left. I worked in the orphanage out there for a little while. I worked out there. I worked in England, and I've been in a few places, but not for very long away from Tullamore, you know. But
and you bring back, and you raised your family there, so it's your hometown.
Yes.
And there's a lot happening in Tullamore too.
Not so much. That's why I go out further afield. There's not an awful lot like what would it be in Westport and Galway and Dublin or Cork, you know.
But it's nice to travel and then come home to a base.
Yes.
And who taught you how to play?
Well, I kind of taught myself. I'm not very far advanced. Yes, I started about 25, 30 years ago, but I just know basic chords and stuff, like, you know, and whatever songs I want to write or learn.
So there was no formal training?
No, practice. I just fell into it, you know.
And your kids, do they take off to your
music? Yes, my son is a teacher in Tullamore, and he's teaching some of the young primary kids music and ukulele and stuff like that, and it's nice to see that happening, you know, and he shares that with them, you know.
And you come out and you go to festivals, and that's become your life? It's become...
Well, yeah, the good part of my life, you know. It's a very...
And what happened to the motorbike section?
Well, I had an accident off a motorbike a couple of years ago, and that kind of... I still ride a bike, but it kind of knocked me back a long way, and it took me a while to recover from it, like, you know, and so I don't ride the motorbikes quite as much as I used to, or go as hard on them, maybe, but I still enjoy them.
You do still ride?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pity about the wet roads in Ireland, yes, because it's actually can be on a great day. It's a lovely drive to places. I'd love to see you back in Westport again. I hope you come back when you and come pop into the station again. We'd love to see how you're doing and play another few songs. Hopefully, when I see you again, it'll be with this interesting motorbike and your lovely instrument, which you call is a banjo.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for your time, PJ.
Thank you, Holly.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
I'm sure PJ will be back in Westport soon, and when you see him, be sure to ask him to play some music from that wonderful banjo. Thank you for listening to The Wired Willow Show. Next week this time, the Young Guns competition. Be sure to cast your vote. They're all brilliant. It's going to be difficult, but do cast your vote. I'm going to end on a song from Peter Byrne, It Sure Feels Good to Me. And Peter Byrne is available for all kinds of gigs, so if you like his music, go ahead and look up Solomon Records or Peter Byrne.
Said you understand, when you understand you see my friend, yeah. When you see you come alive, breakthrough, come join me on the other side, for I am high on a mountain, I'm warmed by a breeze, I'm filled with emotion, I'm all I can be. Sure feels good to me. He's everything I
Cause everything is weekly visit to the Circling Finn and the world of Finn Keegan, he considers the age-old conundrum concerning the destiny of Chancers. And perhaps we all know one or two of them, but do they go further in life than perfectionists?
Often with great artists, we assume they pursue their vocation with a devotion excluding all else, forgetting that they too have had to deal with such everyday nuisances as dentists, plumbing, and mislaying their keys. Look at a row of books on a shelf, jacketed neatly with lettered spines, and you can quickly lose sight of the flesh and blood man or woman who wrought these imaginary worlds out of the endlessly spinning tumble dryer that was their daily life. Perhaps they got up an hour before their family, or scribbled away in their bed before sleep. Perhaps, like the writer Jean Rhys, they had their editor come around to help them fill the hot water bottle. Whatever they had to do, and wherever they were, palace or pied-à-terre, cottage or condo, you must struggle with the messiness of life to produce the formal worth of art. W.B. Yeats meditated often on this contrast in his own life, most memorably in his poem Sailing to Byzantium, in which the poet longs to be gathered into what he calls an artifice of eternity. A place, no doubt, where revenue commissioners or the NCT people can't get letters to you.
Once out of nature, I shall never take my bodily form from any natural thing, but such a form as Grecian goldsmiths make of hammered gold and gold enameling to keep a drowsy emperor awake, or set upon a golden bough to sing to lords and ladies of Byzantium of what is past, or passing, or to come.
A far cry from the personal life of young James Joyce, one of life's original schemers and outright chancers. The other evening, a school principal friend told us that perfectionism was near fatal in her profession. Far better, she said, to be a chancer and have the confidence to take a risk. In art making, that ability is vital. No great artist, Yeats, Wilde, and Joyce included, ever got anywhere without first running the gauntlet of judgmental peers. Before he abandoned Dublin for the continent, the culture vultures of Edwardian Dublin seemed to be confronted at every turn with James Joyce's deeds. He could sing, he could act, he could debate, and on top of it all wrote arresting poetry and provocative criticism. A few years later, lover and baby son in tow, he popped up in Rome, where he worked 7 months in, of all places, a bank. Life was certainly messy, and whatever the weather, he had to wear a coat with tails to hide the state of his trousers. What was this soft-spoken cashier doing in his spare time, besides drinking? Working on the dead, one of the finest short stories ever written. Later, on a visit home, he even opened Dublin's first cinema. Society was agog. What would this unpredictable character come up with next? Well, we eventually got the answer. Two or three books that routinely end up listed as the most important of the 20th century. That's the thing about chancers. They generally get closer to perfection than perfectionists ever manage. You've been listening to an episode of The Circling Finn. Find out more and send me your thoughts at thecirclingfinn.com.
And if you enjoyed this little insight, you'll be glad to know you can catch a repeat of this episode of The Circling Finn from Finn Keegan of sixpence.com tomorrow on the Sunday Blues and More show with Daphne Mooney from 11 a.m. And of course Finn will be back on Westport Radio next weekend when he questions, if the only constant is change, why does the same record keep playing in my head?
People, let's get real. It's time for the True and Soundwave show with Bernice Borman and Grainne Fahey.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the True and Soundwave show with me, Grainne Fahey, and
special guest, Eleanor Foy.
You're not Bernice.
Yeah, Bernice's gone. We disposed of her.
Yeah, she's on a camping trip. Shout out. So this week the theme is memories. So also, if you want to contact us or email or tweet us some of your best memories or funniest memories, The email is truantsoundwaveshow@gmail.com, or the Twitter is @truantsoundwave. So, to start off the show, we're going to talk about some little promos and shout-outs. Eleanor, would you like to read the one about the Midsummer Gala?
Well, there's a Midsummer Gala concert at the Castle Court Hotel in Westport tomorrow night, Sunday 6th of July. There's music by Four and Nines, Charlie McGettigan, Annette Griffin and John Staunton, and Brenda Grayless. Irish TV will also present on the night. Doors open at 7 p.m. and there will also be a raffle.
Ooh, that's interesting. So, it's on tomorrow. Also, Westport, or our partnership, have been given a ticket for Garth Brooks' concert in Croke Park to use as a fundraiser. So, if you want to enter this raffle, the phone is 086-1060-203, and it will be a raffle. And also, I want to give a shout-out to my cousin Emily, who's turning 13 today. So
Woo!
Shout out to her.
Happy birthday.
So, and we're going to go into a song now. This song is also, the song is called Memories to go with the theme, and it's by Panic at the Disco. Enjoy, we'll be right back. Back to the Truant Soundwave Show with me, Grania Fahey, and my special guest host,
Eleanor Foy.
Okay, and we're going to go with some news stories now. I accidentally made all the news stories food-themed. Don't know what that has to do with memories, but I'm pretty sure they're old news stories, so good enough. So here's the first one. Florida woman, so this is kind of a contrast to last week with Florida man, Florida woman, calls 911 after McDonald's runs out of McNuggets.
Okay.
Yep. A Florida woman called 911 three times after she paid for a 10-piece chicken McNuggets at McDonald's, but the fast food restaurant ran out of them and refused to give her a refund. Latresa L. Goodman, 27, made the calls after she tried to get her money back from Fort Pierce McDonald's, and the cashier told her that all the sales were final. Police released the 911 tapes. This is an emergency. If I would have known they didn't have McNuggets, I wouldn't have given my money, and now she wants to give me a McDouble, but I don't want one. The police quoted her as saying, "This is an emergency." That is a very important emergency. Chicken nuggets are a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
The cashier suggested she chose something else off the menu of equal value to the McNuggets and offered the restaurant's cheeseburger called the McDouble. "She's trying to force me to eat something off the menu I don't want it, Goodman told 911. The first dispatcher, a woman, asks if there's a manager there, but listens to Goodman's complaints and says she's sending someone. The second... male dispatcher tells her that he's aware of the incident, and we've got an officer coming out there to talk to you. Police says Goodman was cited on a misuse of a 911 charge. A current phone listing for Goodman couldn't be found. A McDonald's spokesman said Goodman should have been given a refund, and she's being given a gift card for a free meal. Happy ending! Woo!
Okay, so the next one is, I was paralyzed by a pork chop.
That is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Great headline.
A father of two today told how he almost died after eating an undercooked pork chop. He first fell ill after cooking two pork chops on a caravan stove while working away from home in Birmingham. He said, "I thought one of the chops wasn't cooked properly. I regretted eating it straight away. I knew it was a mistake."
It sounds like something, you know, you'd hear one of those ads for insurance. "I ate the pork chop. I knew it was a mistake."
Very important news story.
That is... just, that's deep, bro. Woman attacks man with bowl of spaghetti. Newport Richey, Florida. Oh, another Florida woman.
Woo!
Florida man. Without. A Pasco County woman was jailed after deputies say she got into a physical confrontation with the father of her unborn child. 20-year-old Allison Jennifer Carras was charged with domestic battery. According to her arrest report, Carras got in a verbal argument with the victim. During the dispute, she allegedly struck him in the back of the head with a bowl of spaghetti. Mamma mia. An officer responding to the scene found the victim with blood and pasta running down from said that is some powerful pasta.
Mm.
Carras reportedly admitting to throwing the bowl of pasta and was placed under arrest.
Great way to have a fight with someone is to throw a bowl of pasta.
Food fight!
Okay, well, our next song is Midnight Memories by One Direction.
We'll be right back.
Oh,
welcome back to the True and Soundwave Show with me, Grania Fahey, and my special guest host. So now we're going to go into another segment called The Crazy Adventures of Owl City's Instagram. So I'm going to read the first one. One time in the fourth grade, my friend Ben invited me over to his house to watch him play Sonic the Hedgehog, and Ben beat the game, and I got so excited I threw a french fry out his bedroom window, and that, my friends, is how I became the rebellious individual I am today.
One time in 11th grade, we had a substitute teacher named Mrs. Tillman, and had to be politically correct. Everyone called her Mrs. Tillperson, and she got so mad she tightened the cap on her Diet Coke so hard she couldn't get it off, so she asked this kid Demetrius to open it for her, and as a joke, Demetrius shook the bottle violently and then unscrewed the cap, and Diet Coke sprayed everywhere, and the entire class erupted in laughter and cheered in approval, and Mrs. Tillperson shouted at everyone to be quiet, and this whole time I'm thinking to myself, someday I'm going to Instagram this crap. And yeah, that's basically all I remember about 11th grade. Except for one time my skinny white friend named Tim got detention for wearing a do-rag.
One time in the 9th grade, for some reason, we watched The Prince of Egypt in class. And some kid named Patrick thought the actual Prince of Egypt was George Washington. And my teacher called Patrick a fart knocker. Once in the 2nd grade, I had a purple Barney stuffed animal, and one day after school, I was playing with it in the driveway. My dad came home after work in his huge truck and literally ran it over, and if that wasn't bad enough, what he didn't realize is that he actually parked on Barney. So while I was trying to pull his lifeless body out from under the truck tire, I just ended up ripping his head off. And you people wonder why I'm so emotionally unstable. I swear, all my songs are about me ripping Barney's head off. And this last one is my absolute favorite. One time, in the 3rd grade, my mom packed me a ham and cheese sandwich for lunch and put it in a sparkly blue Aladdin lunchbox, and then she dropped me off at the bad place, which is what I always call school, but that's another story. So at lunchtime, I sat next to this kid named Ryan, who had a peanut butter and banana sandwich, and I was like, bro, wanna trade? And he was like, meh, okay. So we traded, and we were stoked, and Ryan took a huge bite of my sandwich, and then suddenly this look of horror swept over his face, and I was like, lol, what's the matter? And he was like, dude, does this have ham in it? And I was like, yeah, well, there's kind of chunks of ham in it. IDK, why? And then his eyes got huge, and he stammered something about being allergic to ham or something. And I was like, what's that even mean? I'm a 3rd grader. And then he involuntarily screamed and leapt out of his seat and hurled the sandwich across the gym like a grenade, and then immediately ran to the nearest garbage can and started puking his guts out. And this whole time, the kids are just staring at him in stunned silence. And then one of the lunch ladies saw what was going down, and she went totally loco and transformed into one of those emergency CPR lunch ladies ninja heroes, and did tons of spins and backflips and somersaults over lunch tables and stuff. And then she did this perfect swan dive, so graceful, and I was like, somebody call National Geographic! And she took out Ryan with a flying tackle, and so much force it completely knocked the wind out of him, and he probably had to change his diapers afterwards, and Ryan was yelling and spitting and trying to breathe, and shouting, get off, bro! And the lunch lady just started violently kissing him on the mouth, or at least that's what I thought at the time, because I was in 3rd grade, and I didn't know whether to laugh or fall on the ground crying unicorn tears of holy terror, because I felt so bad for Ryan. I swear, I had no idea he was allergic to ham chunks, so Ryan, if you're reading this, I'm so sorry, bro, and I didn't mean to ruin your day, but you gotta admit, it was pretty funny when the lunch lady made out with you. Lol. That was incredible. So, you can actually check out Owl City, a.k.a. Adam Young's Instagram. And so, we're going to play a song by Owl City now. This is Beautiful Times.
A spark soaring down, love pouring rain, and restoring life to the lighthouse. A slow motion wave on the ocean. My emotion up like a rain cloud. When did the sky turn black? And when will the light come back? A cab driver turned to skydiver, then to survivor, die in the breakdown. A blood brother surrogate mother, hugging each other, crying. Turn black, and when will the light come back? Our next step.
And welcome back to the True and Soundwave Show with me, Grania Fahy, and my special, special guest host,
Eleanor Foy.
Okay, so the theme for this week is memories. And Eleanor, would you like to share with us some of your best memory?
Well, I have this really cute memory of when I was very small and I would be up at my granny's, and my dad's uncle would always bring me out to his room and give me Cadbury's Dairy Milk Turkish bars. And I just developed this love for them, and I just think they're really, they always bring back really special memories. So, yeah, cute memory.
Personally, I think my favourite memory is really predictable. Last March, I met a band called Fall Out Boy. I got, like, little this signing they are doing in Tower Records. Nicest people ever. The thing is, when I met them, I was really awestruck. And I didn't really say anything to them. I just, no, because Patrick was first at the table, Patrick Stump. And I went, like, hi, it's really nice to meet you. And he's like, hi, nice to meet you too. And I didn't really know what to say. So he, like, signed my album. And then he, like, looked at me. And then I just kind of extended my hand out for, like, a handshake. And he looked really confused. And then just smiled and shook my hand. And I... Literally, it was the same thing for every other member, like Andy, Joe, and Pete. So, yeah. So, going on to now our last part of the show, we're going to do a Mad Lib.
Woo, I love these.
This is called The Camping Trip. So, Eleanor, would you like to give us an adjective?
Funny.
Okay. So what about a celebrity now?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. My laptop's kind of freezing right now, which is perfect. Okay, so another celebrity.
Lady Gaga.
Okay. A past tense verb.
Baked.
A verb ending in ing.
Playing.
Okay, a plural food.
Burgers.
Okay, now a plural noun.
Animals.
Okay, a verb ending in ing.
Eating.
Okay, a body part singular.
Leg.
Plural noun.
Trees.
Okay, plural noun.
Cats.
Okay, and another celebrity.
Selena Gomez.
Okay, and a beverage.
Coke.
Okay. And an adjective.
Happy.
Okay, let's see our wacky webtail. Okay, now this is coming up now. So, while this is loading, because my laptop takes forever, do you have any other things to share with us, Eleanor? Like, how what's it been like being on the show this week?
I am not going to lie, I was very scared.
Yeah, I'm always scared in weeks like this.
But it's actually been okay.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And here is our wacky webtail. The camping trip. It was a cold, funny night. Miley Cyrus and Lady Gaga baked around the campfire, playing songs and eating burgers. Soon they got tired and climbed into their animals and eventually fell asleep. Suddenly, they were both wide awake. There was a loud eating sound from outside the tent. Lady Gaga grabbed Miley Cyrus's leg and held on to it for dear life. Miley Cyrus started chanting, "Lions and trees and cats, oh my," over and over again. Then, into their tent fell their friend Selena Gomez. Selena Gomez had been thirsty and gone into the house for some Coke. Now, the Coke was on the floor of their tent, but they had a good laugh and went back to sleep. It turned out to be a very happy camping trip. Maybe next time they'll even leave Lady Gaga's backyard. So that was
an interesting
wacky camping trip. So thank you so much for listening to the show this week. And to close off the show, this is Fall Out Boy with Thanks for the Memories.
Gonna make you bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show. And I want these words to make things right, but it's for all.